Church family, it is so good to be in the house of the Lord today. Can I get an amen on that? On this Labor Day weekend, man, it's such a privilege. Every time, if I've learned anything over this season that we've been in, is how much I treasure being around the body of Christ. That's right. It is something to celebrate that the Lord put us together in such a way that we are his body. We are his hands, his feet, and we're made to be together. Come on, somebody. That is something awesome. And I just am reminded of that today. Come on, let's give him some praise one more time. God is good. He is so good. So before I go any further, I just want to introduce myself to you. In case you don't know me, introduce myself to everybody online in case you're tuning in for the first time. My name is Elliot. My wife, Tiffany, who was up here a moment ago, she's my wife, and we get to pastor this group of people called Lifeline Church. Come on, celebrate. Celebrate. Celebrate God, because he's good and he's brought us together. And if you know this, you can say it with me. Our mission here is to be a lifeline by leading people into becoming lifelong followers of Jesus. That's what we're all about. So let's get that out of the way. Now you know. Like, what are these people all about? There it is, right there. We're about being a lifeline by leading people. Truly leading people into becoming lifelong followers of Jesus, not just for a season, not just during the good times, not just during the hard times, but during all the times. Amen. Through our whole life. I believe that whether you're watching online or whether you're in the house today, I don't know how you tuned in. I don't know how you heard about this church. I don't know what ended up happening to get you here, but I believe, and I believe this from the bottom of my heart, that you're not here by accident. It's my conviction that the Lord has brought you here today to give you a message of hope, encouragement, and love that is authored by him, not even of me. He's ordained this day. He's ordained this message so that you can hear something that you need absolutely today. If you believe that with me, say amen. 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 Amen means let it be done. And it also activates our faith to say, Lord, I want that to be true. I want that to be the truth. And sometimes faith is that way. We need to activate that faith with saying, amen, let that be done. I want this message to be for me, and I want to receive. And that gets our hearts in a place, a posture to receive a word from him. So from all of us here, welcome to Lifeline and welcome home. Last week, Tiffany busted some myths about the Holy Spirit. See, we're continuing this series in the Holy Spirit. Tiffany did a bang-up job, if I do say so myself. That's right. Yeah, we got a celebratory church around here, in case you didn't notice. We got a lot of people that like to really celebrate every little thing. It's a good atmosphere. It really is. It's a good culture to have, to be a celebratory people. And Tiffany did a really good job busting some myths, because there are some myths out there about who the Holy Spirit is, what he does, what he doesn't do, who he's for. And if you missed that, I encourage you, go back last week. It's on the YouTube channel or Facebook. You can check that out there. And next week, we're going to be talking about how to receive the Holy Spirit, what that really looks like, how we can have an ongoing relationship of welcoming the Holy Spirit into our life. It's so important. So important. I'm really looking forward to next week, but you know, I got to get through this week first. So come on down for that. You're going to really enjoy it. You're going to really love that. Let's turn to John 16 together. Let's turn to John 16. Man, that's the word of the Lord rumbling by. Did you feel that? Yeah, that's truth, like shaking the ground. I love it. John 16, we've been in this passage a lot, and we're going to stay in John 16 for just a little while longer. And to be honest with you, you could be reading this chapter, John 16, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the fourth book in your New Testament. You could read this chapter over and over again every day, every time we're in this series, every day that we're in this series, you could read this. But if you've got your Bibles, take a chance right now to open it up. And by the way, we're in the YouVersion Bible app. If you want to open up your YouVersion Bible app, we have notes and scriptures in there for you. And if you're watching online, I don't know how you would do that. Like, you got two phones. You're watching on one phone. You're watching on the TV. That's right. And then you got your phone with the YouVersion Bible app. Technology is your strength. Man, I don't know how you do it, but you do it. You do a good job with it. So let's read starting John 16, starting in verse 5. Lord, bless your word today. Let it go forth and truly change us from the inside out. Starting in verse 5, John 16. But now I am going away to the one who sent me. And not one of you is asking where I'm going. Instead, you grieve because of what I've told you. Verse 7. But in fact, it is best for you that I go away. We talked a couple weeks ago how amazing would it be for Jesus Christ in the flesh to be sitting in Lifeline Church in Lodi, California, and I'm like, oh, we got a guest speaker today. Jesus Christ is going to come up. How awesome would that be? But Jesus says himself, it's better. That should be mind-blowing. It's better that Jesus goes away because this gift he's going to send us of the Holy Spirit is even better than having Jesus Christ with us. That's amazing. That's amazing. It's best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the advocate won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you. Now pay attention closely to verse 8. This is kind of where we're going to camp out, verse 8 through 11. And the whole message is on these verses right here. So let's read them. And when he comes, he will convict. Everybody say convict. Say it loud like you're convicted. That was a convicted right there. He will convict. We're going to talk about that word. I'm going to bring it to you in a sense that's maybe more understandable today, because we don't walk around saying that I convict you, or we don't say that very much. And so we're going to talk about that. But he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and the coming judgment. So notice, he's going to convict us of three things. And then, I don't know if you noticed this, but he explains those three things in the following verses. Verse 9, the world's sin, that it refuses to believe in me. Righteousness is available because I go to the Father and you will see me no more. Judgment will come because the ruler of this world has already been judged. So when the Holy Spirit comes, when he sends the Holy Spirit on us, which he already has and continues to do, he will convict us of three things: sin, righteousness, and judgment. Okay? Now, as a past convict, I need to tell you that there are some connotations that go along with that word, convict. Because there's two ways to use that. There's like the way who I was as, and now some of you are listening right now going, now hold up a second. Now hold on just a second. What kind of church should I show up to? What kind of church am I tuning into online? I'm just a pastor with a past, that's all. Pastor with a past, way past. There's the noun, is like the person, it's person, place, or thing. I'm teaching English now, it's a noun. You say it like this, convict. You really emphasize that con. I'm a convict, I was a convict. That's the noun. And that's how some people say it, but then there's the way Jesus uses the word as a verb. It's like something that happens to you. You will be, and it's convict. It's kind of like you emphasize that second part, convict. It's a conviction. I'm convicted. She's convicted. Watch yourself. It's like that second little part of it is a little bit spicier. Convict. Now, what does it mean? What does convict really even mean? What does it mean to be a convict, to be convicted? And as a past convict, I can explain it quite clearly. I can explain it quite clearly. See, I was on the fence about what I should share. Should I just go for it? Yeah, just go for it. Okay, so One of my last adventures, many years ago, I was just a young man, and I was out misbehaving. I know. I was out misbehaving. It was late at night or early in the morning, like whatever your opinion of that. Well, it was dark outside, and I was at somebody's house that they didn't know I was there, and I was there. I was misbehaving, okay? That wasn't even the funny part yet. Come on, guys. Go easy on me. And I'm out there in front of somebody's house, misbehaving, doing some things I shouldn't have done, and the porch light comes on. I'm getting itchy just thinking about it. And then someone comes out, much bigger than me, and they come out and they say, hey, what are you doing in my truck? And I said, and I ran for it, man. If you think I'm like kind of like stringy now, I was quick before. I was fat, and I went booking it. And this guy starts running after me. I was so scared. And so I go through this muddy field. It's like, he's not going to follow me. It's mud. But anybody who's ever run through a muddy field knows that mud doesn't just get on the bottom of your shoes. It gets caked all around your shoes. And I was muddy up to my knees. And I'm running through this muddy field. It's like just got water and it's all dirt, all mud. It's like there's not even any grass there. Give me a break. What's it doing? I jump this fence. I get back in my car that was parked around the corner. Oh my gosh, this is so awkward. And then I go back to my house. And I get to the front door. I take my shoes off, put them there, and I roll my pants up a little bit. I go inside. Oh, safe. About an hour goes by. And I'm kind of dumb. So I didn't even think about running. I didn't even think about anything. I'm on the second story anyways, and so I was kind of locked in. And I just opened the door, muddy pants, muddy shoes right outside the door, and there's two police officers right there. They said, well, we had a report that there was a car in the neighborhood, and we followed it back to the address it was registered to, and they looked at me. They looked down at my pants. They looked at the shoes, back at my pants, up at me. I look at them, down at my pants, over to the shoes, down at my pants, up at them. Those aren't mine. Those aren't mine. I got mud on my pants. There's muddy shoes right there. Oh, those aren't mine. Those aren't my shoes. Let me just put it this way. They were not convinced. They were not convinced. I went to jail that night, and the story goes on. I'll finish it in a few minutes. You'll be excited to hear that. That actually was not the end, so it kind of goes on. But they were not convinced. To be convicted is to be convinced of something. Those two words are largely interchangeable. Think about it. He will convince the world of its sin. Convince the world of its sin. And what is the Holy Spirit saying here? What is Jesus saying the Holy Spirit is going to convict us of or convince us of? One, that we've sinned. Two, that we are righteous in Christ Jesus and righteousness is available because he went to the Father. And three, of the judgment that we saw was explained. Judgment because the ruler of this world has already been judged. We're going to break these verses apart. And I hope that you'll never look at them the same again. And I hope that you're reminded of them in your daily life. So let's start with number one. The Holy Spirit convicts us or convinces us of sin. He convinces us of sin. Now, something we need to understand about God's legal system is that confession leads to acquittal. Boy, that night, I wish that were true in our own legal system. That confession just leads to acquittal. That doesn't make any sense, does it? But we need to understand that God's legal system is much, much different than the one we live in. I'll prove it to you. I'll prove it to you right here in 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. One of my favorite scriptures ever. If we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and we're not living in the truth. But if we confess, watch this, if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. One thing I like about this scripture, it doesn't say that he's nice and in a good mood to forgive us of our sins. Doesn't say that. And he says he's faithful because he said he would. Because his word says so. That if you confess your sin, I will do what I said I would do, which is forgive you. In God's economy, in God's legal system, confession leads to acquittal. So do you see how important it is for our sin to be pointed out in our lives? That's how important it is because that's what it means to get free. When sin is exposed, it loses its power. It absolutely does. That's why it's the Holy Spirit's power. In fact, the title of this message is called The Holy Spirit's Power, Daily Power, the power of the Holy Spirit. And one of the powers of the Holy Spirit in our daily life is to point out sin so that we can get free. Somebody wants to get free today. We need this. We absolutely need this. And it's not to make us feel bad. That's not like, come on, think it through. If he would point out sin just to like squish us down with his thumb, there's no freedom there. No, what does it say? He will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from unrighteousness if we would confess it with God. Write this down. Put it on your mirror or something. With God, confession leads to cleansing. Confession leads to cleansing. Someone just elbowed their spouse just now. Confession, hun. Did you hear the pastor? Confession, hun. No. Hang on a second. Now, let me just kind of try and paint the picture. Let's say you got a dark room in your house. It's very dark. It's like gloomy in there. You don't like it. You don't want your friends to see it. It's like, oh man, it's a dark room. What am I going to do? I'm going to close all the doors. I'm going to close all the curtains and I'm going to build some walls around this room, man, because I don't want any of my friends to see this darkness right here. What did you just do? You just made that place darker, Jack. It's not better. No. If you want that room to not be dark, you've got to open the blinds. You've got to open the, you've got to let light in. You don't get rid of darkness by covering it up. In fact, that only makes it stronger. Can you see why the Holy Spirit's, one of his primary jobs would be to point out sin in our life? Because what do we do? Naturally, every single one of us. Now, I got my stuff together, bro. What you're talking about, man? I'm good. No, how you doing, man? Oh, I'm doing great. Oh, yeah. Standard answer from anybody. I'm doing great. Now, I'm not saying you got to broadcast all your dirty laundry to everybody. I'm saying when we sin, we need to learn to confess that and get some light in that room. When darkness is exposed to light, it loses its power. Likewise, when sin in our life is exposed, it can be destroyed. That's the power of the Holy Spirit, exposure. If we just back up a couple verses from the one I just read in 1 John 1, again, this is the message we heard from Jesus, how now I declare to you, God is light. There's no darkness in him at all. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God and go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing truth. If we are living in the light as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other. See, this even affects the relationship we have with each other. This affects us. Because we want to cover things up and we're blocking people off. I don't want you to see me. I don't need all this transparency in my life. No, we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Confession leads to cleansing. Now, I know before my story a minute ago, you thought I was perfect. And that's all right. I you can go ahead and keep thinking that if you want. But let me tell you what the exposure of sin did in that situation. See, the exposure of my sin, I was dead to rights. I was caught red-handed, basically. And I've told you the story many times before. It's my salvation story that as a result of that arrest, being exposed, being convicted, being convinced of my sin, and I didn't know about Jesus. I don't know anything about Jesus. I didn't grow up in church. I was so far removed from that, but I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit's bigger than that. The Holy Spirit's bigger than how you were raised. Amen. The Holy Spirit's bigger than your tradition. Amen. The Holy Spirit's bigger than all that. And I got arrested, and I walked in to the dorm, and I had my bedroll in my arms. I've told you about this before. And I walked in, and that big steel door slams behind me, and the Holy Spirit himself. I know it was him, hindsight, because it wasn't self-talk, I need help. It was from the outside, you need help. And it wasn't a condemning you need help. It was when they offer you help, take it. The Holy Spirit gave me not only the exposure of my sin where I could see that where I had done wrong and I could see that I needed something. He also showed me the path that I could take to get right in my life. And let me tell you, it doesn't have to be that big. You don't have to go to jail for this to work out to you. How many of you ever felt in your heart, in your mind, oh, I shouldn't have said that. Today, everybody, on the way to church, you know, in church, in the parking lot. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have thought that. I shouldn't have felt that. Let me tell you, that is none other than the Holy Spirit's power. It's the Holy Spirit who convicts us of sin. It's the Holy Spirit who convinces us, oh, I shouldn't have done that. That's the Holy Spirit. He's trying to help us. He's not trying to smash us down. He's trying to bring that stuff out because he doesn't want it to bury deep in our heart. He wants us to get it out right away. So what do we do when sin is exposed in our life? When we get that feeling, man, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have thought that. I shouldn't have said. Repent right away. I put it this way. When we sin, own it, confess it, and repent from it. That's what I did in my big situation. It works on every level. Just own it. Man, you could be on the edge of faith and not yet even walking with Jesus. Let me tell you, this works because it's God's principles and he's right. He knows what he's a-doing. You know what I mean? He's got the insight. This is truth. Own it, confess it, repent from it. And repent means to actually turn away. Is to actually go, all right, I did that. I'm so sorry, honey. I know I'm using like the spouse version a lot, but that's kind of how God speaks to me most of the time is, shouldn't have said that. And I don't always do it right away, but let me tell you, it's the Holy Spirit. It's not me. It's not my innate goodness that says, yes, I'm better than this. No, it's the Holy Spirit who reminds us and says, no, 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 don't go that way. No, 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 come this way. The Holy Spirit is the one who will expose it and convince us of it, but it's our job. What we do is own it, confess it, and turn away from it. That's on us. We can't ask the Holy Spirit to actually take action for us and repent for our sins for us. That's asking a bit too much. Let me tell you, he's come. He's not a puppeteer. He's not going to make you do anything. If you read the word, you'll see that he leads people to repentance. He leads us, and he hopes that we will, but the rest of it is on us. So a lot of people stop here when it comes to conviction of the Holy Spirit, but let me tell you, Jesus did not stop here, and it gets better from here. He went on to talk about the next way the Holy Spirit would move in power, which is number two, he convinces us of righteousness. He convinces us of righteousness. Remember, verse 10 said, righteousness is available. Who's he talking about? Who's it available for? For him? He already righteous, everybody. Who is he talking about? He's talking about us. Now, a lot of people struggle with that. Some like really deep, you know, spiritual people might say, well, no, we're sinners and we're this and that. And, you know, that's all true. We repent from that. But God is trying to remind us and Jesus is telling us, no, the Holy Spirit is going to convince you that you have God's righteousness available to you. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. So a lot of people don't know that, and that the Holy Spirit's power is to convince us and convict us, that it's the Holy Spirit who reminds us that we are the righteousness of God in Christ. And if you recognize that statement, it comes from 2 Corinthians 5. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That is powerful. I got a lot of favorite verses. All right, I admit it. I got a lot of favorite ones, but this, again, is one of my favorites. Because the Holy Spirit comes in and doesn't just leave us groveling in the corner in a pity party. No, he says, come on out here. Come on out here, buddy. How do you think I felt in a jail cell? How do you think I felt? I felt bad. But the Holy Spirit drew me out and said, no, I can probably do better than this. And it was the Holy Spirit that allowed me to get free and not stay in bondage because of the power of condemnation, which is not the word I'm using. As much as we need to know and deal with the fact that we've sinned, we need to know and deal with the fact that we are sons and daughters of the Most High God and we are made righteous in him. It's a great place to say amen right there. We have been made righteous in him, and the Holy Spirit, Jesus is saying, that's his power. That's what he's going to do. He's going to remind you of this. What does that look like? Let's just paint the picture a little bit. You get convicted of sin. You get convinced of sin. You got that in your head. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. I was belittling this person. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have posted that. I shouldn't have whatever. I shouldn't have thought that. And the Holy Spirit comes in and says, you shouldn't have said that. And you go, yes, Lord, you're right. I'm sorry. I confess and I repent. I shouldn't have done that. Right after that, the Holy Spirit comes in and convinces us. Now you've been made righteous, you know. You have been made righteous. And you say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I accept that. Now, see, a lot of people don't do this. And that's what keeps a lot of people bound in their slavery, because we identify with our slavery. We identify with the things that we're not good at. We identify with the things that are common failings in our own life, but God wants to move past that and say, no, you've been made righteous. You've been made righteous. A lot of people got no problem saying they're a sinner, but have a hell of a time believing that they've been made righteous. It's like, you know, Eeyore. You remember Eeyore? I'm a sinner. Anybody watch Winnie the Pooh? I'm a sinner. I'm just a dirty old rotten sinner. I'll probably sin again soon. 'Cause I'm a sinner. It's just, no, the Holy Spirit comes in and says, no, come out of there. Come out of there. That is not you. That is not of God. Straight up. That is not God speaking to you. That is not God moving in you. That's the devil. Straight up, no lie about it, no bones about it. That is the devil lying to your face or from inside. He's moving. If you're talking that way about yourself or if anybody else is talking that way about you, that's the straight up devil right there. I got to tell you the truth today. That's the devil. That is not of God. That is not the way God sees you. That is not the way he has called you to see yourself. None of it. None of that. Because if the devil can't get you to confess your sin, like let's say you just won't admit it. That's like best case scenario. I'm good. I got this. And that conviction is being blocked right there. His next best bet, the devil, is to get you believing you'll just, this is just who I am. That's not of God. The Holy Spirit comes in hot, convincing us that we've become the righteousness of God in Christ, and Jesus hung on that cross so we don't have to. Don't die for your own sins. It doesn't work. Don't die for your own sin. Jesus died for your sin so that you can become the righteousness of God. You don't have to kill yourself for your sin. And that's a word for somebody, I believe, maybe somebody watching online, maybe somebody in the house. There's a lot of depression out there. There's a lot of people that are just stuck. There are a lot of people feeling really depressed and down right now. Let me just tell you, that is not from God. That is not God's heart for you. You have a life to live, and you have a lot of purpose. God cares about you so deeply, and that is a lie. It's a lie. That is not on you. That doesn't belong in your life. That kind of talk doesn't belong in your life. You have purpose, you have value. He cares about you, and he has something very special for you. Nothing else traps you in sin like condemnation. The pity party that says, I'm a screw up. That mentality, talking like that, is such a trap because it keeps you in the cycle. Let's say something together. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I have been made right. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for me so that in him I could be the righteousness of God. I talk to myself like this. Did you know that? Because I don't know if you knew this other thing, that I still struggle with sin too. I'm just like everybody else. I still got that, but you shouldn't have said that. And I talk to myself like this. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for me so that I can become the right. If I confess my sin, he is faithful and just to forgive me of my sin. We need to remind ourselves of the truth. That's the truth. And the best way to know a lie is to know the truth. Stop convincing yourself that you're a failure. Stop it right there. Stop convincing yourself that you're a failure and start letting the Holy Spirit convince you that you've been made righteous. Don't agree with the devil with your words. Don't agree with the enemy of your soul with your words. Don't talk down to yourself. And for the love of God, don't talk down to others. Don't just, please, I'm asking you. I'm pleading with you. I'm sharing the word with you. Don't do this. Don't engage in that. Don't do it to yourself and don't do it to others. Listen, and one of the biggest things, this kind of leads us into our last point, is one of the biggest thing that keeps us from walking in the fullness of God and the power of the Holy Spirit is we have an enemy feeding us a false narrative about ourselves, about the true God, and about others. We have an enemy feeding us a false narrative about that thing, and guess what? Remember what verse 11 was saying? The Holy Spirit convinces us of that judgment, which is the devil's lies. Judgment will come because the ruler of this world has been judged. The theme of this verse is that the enemy's been judged. And how has he been judged? What does Jesus say about the devil? He's a liar. He is a liar. See, when people are passing through the scripture, we just pass it right by. And the normal thing to do is put it all on us. He convicts us of our sin and that we're not righteous and I'm going to be judged. But there's a progression here that's useful for us. The Holy Spirit's going to convict us and convince us that the devil's been judged a liar. John 8:44. Listen to the way Jesus talks about the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth. It's one thing to bend the truth. It's another thing to hate the truth. Come on, somebody. It's one thing to like kind of bend the truth and to kind of walk around the truth and not. He hates it. When he sees believers, when he sees anybody walking in the truth, he hates it. Absolutely hates it. There's no truth in him. When he lies, it's consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. He hates the truth. But look at this. John 12, 30, 31 and 32. The time of judging this world has come when Satan, the ruler of this world, will be cast out. And he has been cast out. But, and when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself. What's that saying? He's saying that 2,000 years ago, when Jesus Christ died on that cross, was lifted up, he ascended to heaven, he crushed the power of the enemy. We see it all throughout the Gospels, all throughout the book of Acts, that demons come out, people get raised from the dead, like the kingdom of God is here and unfolding. The power of the enemy has been broken. What am I trying to describe to you? What does he have left? What does the devil have left? Lies. Lies. He doesn't have power over you. He has misleading and lies. He lies about God. Like every bad thing that ever happened in life is somehow God's fault. That's a lie. Lie detector test determined that was a lie. I was watching, I saw Maury on the TV. I was looking for golf. I saw Maury and I like took me back. I'm like, lie detector test determined that was a lie. He lies about you like you'll never be free from whatever holds you. Lie detector test determined that was a lie. He lies about others, saying that they are your enemy and he is not. Lie detector test determined that was a lie. You don't have enemies of flesh and blood. Oh, it's one of his favorite lies right now. Now he turns us against each other and he just, ha, 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 suckers. Look at them fighting with each other. He's lying. He's lying. We have only one enemy. It's him. It's him. Everyone else, if anybody else seems like an enemy to you, it's because they're just being misled. It's because they're being lied to. I got something to describe this to you. I think this settles it. You ever heard of fishing? No, not like fishing. I went yesterday fishing on Lake Tahoe. I'm talking about PH fishing, like when they call you and ask about your bank information. Oh, this is your bank. This is your financial institution. We just need your full credit card number and the fishing. The emails. Oh, if you would just respond. Well, let me just tell you, I was the victim of fishing at one point in my life. I got fished, baby. I got fished, and it was ugly. It was okay. They got me at the worst time possible. It was a Sunday morning, long ago. Long ago. This is a place of truth. I'm telling the truth. It was a long time ago, all right? I hate to admit this, but I got fished. It was Sunday morning, 30 minutes before I was going up to preach. And if anybody's talked to me on a Sunday morning and they have something important to tell me, sometimes I'll tell them something like this. Could you email that to me? Because I might forget what you're saying right now because I've got one thing on my brain and it's delivering this word. So Sunday mornings, I'm kind of vulnerable and I just say yes to everything. Nobody remember that. Go ahead and just strike that from the record right there. But I got this phone call before I turned my phone off on Sundays, and it was a lady from my financial institution. And she said, well, Mr. Jones, there's been some very, very strange activity in your account, and we want to put a freeze on that so that nothing will happen. Can you just confirm this number so that we can go ahead and take care of that? And it's Sunday morning, y'all. I wasn't thinking straight. I wasn't thinking clearly, and I did it. I did it. I gave it to him. And Sunday afternoon, I'm thinking to myself, that wasn't right. And I called my actual bank, and they said, no, that wasn't us. And so I didn't lose anything. I didn't get robbed. We've got it all fixed up, and nothing really happened. But what I'm trying to describe to you is that that company, or whoever it was, they didn't have the power to go into my bank account and take my money. All they had were lies to get me to give it to them. That's where we are. That's where the church is. Listen, the devil doesn't have power to take your freedom. He doesn't have power to take your calling. He doesn't have the power to take your peace. He doesn't have the power to do any of that. All he has is lies to get you to give it to him. And he's the father of all lies. He's good at this. He can make lies sound like the truth. And he can get us in this whole belief system that is just one degree off. And next thing you know, we're going in a totally different direction Next thing you know, we're handing the keys of our life over to this false truth, this untruth, this lie that's in our mind. And he gets us to hand it over. He doesn't have the power. He has lies. So how do we combat the devil's lies? By knowing what the truth is. John 8 says this. Jesus said to the people who believed in him, he's talking to all of you, most of you, any of you who are even considering or reconsidering a life of faith, Jesus says to you, you are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Because if you believe that lie, he's going to empty your bank account. If you believe the devil's lie, he is going to drain the account of your life. He'll drain you, and he'll do it slowly. You know what actually happened in that fishing story? They took a little 14-cent charge out. They do that to make sure it worked. And you know, if I were a company like that, I'd probably just like slowly drain. I wouldn't do it all at once. I wouldn't do something obvious. I wouldn't be an obvious lie. I would just be a subtle lie. Like they're not. I don't want to say anything because there's like a lot of things that we all deal with, but don't believe the lies. Let the Holy Spirit in. Let him show you the truth. Don't believe the lies about your loved ones. Don't believe the lies about yourself. Don't believe the lies about those people who they're not right and they're not doing the right thing and they don't believe the right thing. If the devil can get you to believe a small lie, he will maximize it. Believe me. And you'll be standing on one little piece of truth, but the rest of that whole narrative is ungodly. Don't fall into that. John 16, 13 says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. We need to welcome the Holy Spirit into our lives and let him remind us of God's word, but we can't be reminded of what we don't know. So what my application for you is this. Be in God's word daily. Be in God's word daily. Start a reading plan. Study that thing. And let me just encourage you. You may not be like getting these magnificent, you know, breakthroughs. Listen, when you begin to like just plant those seeds of the scripture in your life every day, read a chapter at least every day. And it may not make sense right then, but let me just tell you, the Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance. And that scripture will come up at the right time, at the right place, and he will lead you in truth because you've been sowing that seed of truth. Because his word is true. His word is true. So just keep taking it in. Keep taking it in. It may not feel like very much right now. But let me tell you, at the right time, if you store up that word in your heart, it's going to come up at the right time, and it's going to save you. It's going to save you. He needs to have a place in our daily life. His truth and his Holy Spirit convincing us of our need to repent, of the righteousness we have in Christ, and reminding us what's true. We need to invite the Holy Spirit to have a place in our life daily. Daily. We need to invite the Holy Spirit to have a place in our life daily. And I know that can be a little confusing. Like I said, don't miss next week. Don't miss next week. It's going to be crucial. It's going to be crucial to continue to welcome the Holy Spirit into your life. But let me just tell you one last closing story about when Tiffany and I were dating, but in the church we call it courting, you know. Courting is safety dating. And all the people who grew up in church gave a chuckle. It's safety dating. I learned about it later in life, but basically two people that want to stay pure, they won't date, they will court. And so what we did is we went to public places only, and we only went out with each other in groups because, you know, she was a pastor at that time and I was serving the Lord too, but you know, I'm still a man. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, okay, we'll court and we'll just keep it safe. And I feel bad for poor Kyle over at Chili's. You know, Chili's right here in Lodi. And we would go there like all the time and just order water. And he would come over. He's all chipper. Hey, you guys, how you doing today? And we're like, just water. He's like, wasting my time. He didn't say it, but it was all over his face. Wasting my time. And we were over there at that Chili's one night. And we were, because Tiffany's a holy person. So we were talking about holy things. We were talking about the Bible and stuff because Tiffany, she's just amazing. We were talking about the book of Acts. And we were talking about how awesome it would be that if in our region, our area, in Lodi, Stockton, Galt, Lockford, like this whole area, this whole region, that we began to see like the miraculous happening. Like we got to see the book of Acts happening, like sick people getting well, you know, people getting up out of their wheelchair, like amazing things, lame people getting healed, the very things that we read in the Bible. Like we wanted to see the Holy Spirit moving and we were all excited and young. And let me just tell you something, I haven't grown up that much. I still believe it's true. I still believe that we're right on the edge. But I remember it like it was yesterday because we were in that dark parking lot, the lights were on, and we were out there and nobody else was out there. And we were just filled with hope. We were filled with excitement. We were filled with anticipation, like anything is possible. We just want the Holy Spirit to come and bust a move in our area. But as a pastor, I've had some years now, and I've been studying and I've been watching people. I watch people and I consider my own walk with the Lord too. And I was thinking about, you know, Peter, James, John, Paul, these people that were walking with Jesus and these people that were moving out in the book of Acts, how powerful they were. And I began to think about John 16 just recently, this week, that I want to share with you. Man, the power of the Holy Spirit's foundation is in us. It's not like the Holy Spirit out there is going to do something. He's going to use us. He's going to use you and me. And what's the very first thing that we learn right here in John 16? What is the power of the Holy Spirit going to look like at its foundational level? Convinced. When I sin, I'm convicted of it and I repent from it. Number two, that I turn from that and I begin to walk in righteousness, not in poverty, but in righteousness. And that the lies of the enemy are false and I don't need to believe. If we have that foundation, if we as believers would have that foundation, that power of the Holy Spirit working in us, I believe the miraculous is right on the other side of us walking in that fullness. I believe that's exactly what James, Peter, John, Paul, the untold behind the scenes is that they were doing these things every day. Every time they sin, sorry, Lord, I repent from that. And every time they sin, and they repented, they would come into the righteousness and they would rebuke the enemy. Those are the things they were doing every day when they called up that lame man on the way to the temple. Do you think they were just like, well, need a miracle to happen? No, they were just walking with the Lord. They were walking with the Holy Spirit's presence and power in them, submitted to him in these three ways. And that's an atmosphere for the miraculous to take place. So when a message comes out like this, power of the Holy Spirit, daily power of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, it starts with us. It starts with us being receptive to listening to his voice daily, to walking, turning away from our sin daily, and not believing the lie that you've gone too far or done too much. I think that's a good place for us to pray. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes with me. And Father, I just ask right now for your Holy Spirit to begin to move in us, work in us, begin to speak to us in a way that no human being can speak. Speak to us from the inside, Lord, right now. In fact, let's just take a moment, just a quick moment. Lord, I ask that your Holy Spirit would speak to us even in this moment, something that's crucial to us. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this opportunity for us to be together. And Lord, I ask for open hearts this morning. And I ask that we would be receptive to who you are and your salvation. With heads down and eyes closed, if there's anyone here that is feeling like, man, I'm just not where I want to be with God, or maybe you just never heard the gospel shared in this way, that Jesus Christ died for our sins and he brings us back to from this place of repentance, repenting from our sin, but then brings us to a life that's so full. Brings us to a life that's so full in the good times and bad, so full. If there's anyone here that wants to start a relationship with Jesus or maybe get back to a relationship with Jesus. It's that right now, with just in this private moment, in this holy and sacred moment, that you would just, from a gesture to lift your hand to say, that is me. That is me. I want to give my life to him. Amen. You are seen. Amen. You are seen. And anyone online, just go ahead. Be bold. Just let people know. Church, let's pray this prayer together. And let's pray it like this. Father God, I give you my heart. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross for my sin. I repent. I own it. I'm confessing it. I'm repenting from it today. Fill me with your spirit. Show me any lie that I've given permission to, and set me free. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we celebrate everything God is doing today? Come on, everybody. God is so good. God is so good. And I'm so grateful for every single one of you. I'm grateful for your heart. I'm grateful to God today that he would bring us to this place and has led us to do this series on the Holy Spirit. I believe it's so crucial right now. I've got a couple things that we are going to do. First of all, anybody watching online and anybody here today, you can go ahead and take out of the seat in front of you. I know they're kind of far. We spaced it out because germs and stuff. But they're in the seat back in front of you. There is either a tithe envelope or a connection card that you can grab out. Go ahead and grab one of those out. You can take some notes on some of these next steps if you'd like. Online, there's links in the description. And I encourage you, if you have never done this, fill out a connection card today. Fill out a connection card today. Just put your name, your phone number, and if you want to take any next steps with us, go ahead and fill that out. But right now, in this season, it is so important to be connected with the family. It is so important to be connected with the family of Christ. And let me just tell you, we are here for you. We really are. Like, I know you don't always see it, but I see it all the time. We have a team behind the scenes that's really reaching out to people, really there to just like making phone calls and texts and letting people know, like, we're trying not to bother you, but we're not leaving you alone right now in this season. We want to let you know that we are here for you as a church. So I encourage you, before the day is over, to fill that out, drop it in the box in the back, right by the back door. And if you're online, you could fill that out. This is also a good opportunity to talk about giving through the church. We believe in, giving the tithe, bringing the tithe through the church to bless the community and to just do the Lord's work. But we also just remind you, especially if you're new, just ask the Lord. He'll tell you, Lord, do you want me to give today? Do you want me to contribute to this cause? Do you want me to give to the body of Christ? And he'll speak to you. And so just do that. And there's four different ways to do it. I feel like a recorder. I say these every single week, but there's always someone who is not heard. So you can text 84321 to do that. You can push the button on Facebook. You can give online on our website. You can also mail in if you prefer to, use up those checks that don't get used very often. You can send them in to 500 Park Street, 95240. And of course, you can sign up online. And this goes for everybody in-house, and everybody watching online. The best place to sign up for a life group or to join Growth Track is to sign up online on our website, lifelinelodi.com. We have next steps for everybody, no matter what season of life you're in, no matter if you're new to the church, old to the church, like no matter where you're at, we've got a life group for you. We've got baptism if you haven't done that yet. If you haven't got baptized yet, let me just tell you, it is an awesome opportunity to go public with your faith and kind of bring your family and friends to say, hey, I'm living for Jesus. I made an inward decision in church or anywhere, but I'm ready to go public. Baptism is, we are here for you for that. And joining Growth Track, we can do it on Zoom. We'll do it any way you like, man. The church is just here for you right now. Last but not least, I know I went a little bit long today, but I got one more thing to share with you. The Lord has really been speaking to me personally, and so I think it might behoove me to share that with you to be a lifeline in the community. This is your, right before this closing prayer, this is the last thing I want to share with you. Be a lifeline. There's cards around here. I need to re-up because I gave them away, and they say they're blue. and they say, God loves you, and so do we. God just really struck my heart earlier in this message that there are so many people out there hurting. There's so many people out there hurting, and they're smiling, but they are hurting. So if you have it in your budget to just carry some 20s around, carry some 50s around, maybe you have it in your budget to carry some hundreds around, and these cards, don't forget the cards too, because that's what I've been doing when I get the chance is when I see someone, or if someone's like talking to me at the register and they share with me like I just had someone scream at me. This is what happened this last week. I went somewhere to go eat and they said, man, I just had someone scream at me because, you know, I had to tell them to wear a mask. You know, this poor kid is just doing his job, you know? He's just at his place of business. He's doing what his boss told him to do. And he had someone standing there with a phone and yelling at him. And he was talking to me like, you know, he was feeling it. And I walked in right behind him and I just happened to have one of those bills on me. And I had one last card on me. And I ate my food and I went back and I said, hey, I believe I came in right after that person. Because that's not how God feels about you. That's not how God feels about you. Do anything you can. This is like a whole separate message, man. Gosh. Do whatever you can to be a lifeline out there. It's not just the name of our church. It's who we are. And it's what we need to do in our community right now. Be a lifeline in any way you can think of. You might be saving a life. And you never know. You might be saving not only one life, but a whole family tree. On that note, let me pray for you. Come on, let's all stand to our feet today. Come on, let's all stand. And if you've got it in you to hold your hands out in front of you, I want to pray a blessing over you. Hands out in front, just like this, to receive a blessing. Say, yes, Lord. It's a posture to say, I receive. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray blessing over every single person listening to this message online, every single person in the house right now. And I reject the lie. I reject any lie. I just rebuke the enemy right now. I reject any lie, Lord, and I pray it would be exposed and that lie would be gone forever and people would begin to walk in the truth right here and right now. Right now, and I pray blessing over these people, Lord, that they would walk in fullness, Lord. Anybody struggling with finances, I pray that they would just submit to you right here and right now, and Lord, that you would move and do what you said you would do, that we seek first the kingdom of God, and every other thing will be added to us, that we would have no need in the house, no need, because we are fully submitted to you. I pray over the health of this church, not just physically, not just physical, but mental, emotional, psychological health. Lord, that depression would flee. Lord, that we would just walk with you and we would just live in your truth. Lord, and we know that you are our healer, and by your stripes, we are healed. We believe that to be true, and we just stand in that truth. And finally, I pray for every relationship. Relationship. Lord, that word's so important right now. I pray for every relationship to be Christ-centered and therefore blessed. I pray these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Come on, let's celebrate what God's doing one last time. He's good. We love you. God bless you. We'll see you next week. Be a lifeline out there.
Thank you so much for tuning in today. As always, we ask that you would like, comment, and share this message to help get the word out. You never know who's just one message away from giving their life to Jesus or taking a next step. And speaking of next steps, we have links in the description for you to stay connected, stay involved. There's giving links. There is a life group link. There's a link for a connection card if you'd like to connect with us. And there's multiple ways for you to take next steps with us. We're so glad that you tuned in today. Let me pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray grace and mercy over every single person tuning in. I pray that they would be encouraged in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We love you. And we'll see you again very soon.